Please take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's been a while since we've been looking at 2 Corinthians. Took a few messages away. I think maybe, three Sunday mornings I think I preached since we've been in 2 Corinthians. But we're going to head back to 2 Corinthians this evening. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 4. Of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Here in chapter 11, we find the Apostle Paul defending his apostleship. We find that there were false workers that had moved in, so to speak, that were trying to take away really the attention of God's people from really the place they should have it. And they're trying to take away their really Paul's leadership in their lives and seek to get them to go in the wrong direction. We come here, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul is fearing, he says in verse 3, that they were going to be beguiled, they were going to be corrupted, as the serpent beguiled Eve, that they might be corrupted. He comes to verse 4, and it says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." We heard a message on Wednesday night about the spiritual enemy that we are facing, that he's organized, that he is seeking to defeat. He's not just haphazardly going about what he is doing. And here we find that his ranks, in a sense, are infiltrating the church at Corinth, stealing the hearts of the people, getting them to follow after the false workers rather than the one who had brought them to Christ. And obviously the Apostle Paul was seeking to head them in the right direction. He says in 1 Corinthians, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of" who? Of Christ. And the Apostle Paul was not seeking to get the Corinthian church just to follow him because he wanted a following. He wanted them to follow him because he was following Christ, and he was seeking to get them to be the followers of Jesus Christ. And here in chapter 11, we get some insights into the ministry as these false workers were moving in, seeking to steal these people and get them to go in the wrong direction. And tonight, the devil is out there and he is seeking to steal your attention. And we're going to look at some insights into the ministry that this passage offers us. And I know this may seem a little bit, I don't know if I should use the word crazy, but the first point, really, we see the craziness of Christian ministry. And what is that? Well, the craziness of Christian ministry is certain things sometimes just do not make sense. And here, these people are turning from the very one that God used, one of the main ones that God used to start this church here at Corinth. They're turning from him and following after these false apostles. And it just doesn't make sense. And he says in verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And so here's these people coming in, and they are giving these people the time of day. But then Paul says, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." You know, here he's defending himself, and he says, "Would to God he could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." You know, sometimes in the Christian life, we can make room for people that we ought to not make any room for. And the very ones that we should be making room for in our lives are the very ones that we are shutting out of our lives. And here in the Corinthian church, these people are beginning to make room for people that they had no business making room for in their lives, and these people were leading them away from Christ. You know, tonight, who are you allowing to influence your life? Who are you allowing to work themselves into your life? Is it the ones that have led you to Christ? Is it the ones who are being faithful to Christ? Or are you allowing these deceitful workers to make a room, to allow themselves to penetrate your heart and to lead you away from Christ? And it's really a crazy thing that people shut out the very ones that they should be opening their hearts to. And what does Satan do? He works in your heart, and you begin to shut your heart out to the ones that you should be opening your heart to. And before you know it, you're out the door. You know, you see it sometimes with young people. They shut their hearts to their parents, and they open their hearts up to someone else. Sometimes it's with somebody that you've maybe faithfully discipled, and you've spent time with them, and you've sought to lead them in the right direction, and here comes somebody else working their way into their life. And they make time for them, and they begin to shut you out of their life. And it's really, it's an unfortunate thing. And here we find that the Corinthian people were giving more weight to speaking than they were to substance. What does it say in verse 6? It says, "But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things." The Apostle Paul was clear where he stood. The Apostle Paul did not come in and seek to kind of cover up what they were doing. The Apostle Paul did not use underhanded means in presenting the gospel. The Apostle Paul was clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says in verse number 2, he says, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." And these people were using underhanded means to get them to follow them. But the Apostle Paul had clearly made known where he was standing and where he was seeking to lead them. He had substance. You know, he may have not been the most gifted speaker in the world, but the Apostle Paul declared the truth. And I wonder tonight, who are you more likely inclined to follow? Somebody who can give a great speech, or somebody who has substance to what they are saying? Somebody who has substance to the life that they are living. You know, in American politics today, much of what is followed is those who can what? Give a great speech. But if somebody has substance to what they believe, they're what? They're attacked. And they're thwarted. And they're brought down.
You know, are we mirroring that in our Christian lives? You know, just going after those with great speaking ability? You know, how would you, many times, you know, who's going to get on the radio? Or who's going to get on TV? You know, probably it's going to be more likely the person that can what? Give a great speech. But do you always know how that person's living or what's actually happening? I mean, I'm not saying they're never going to have somebody that has substance, but the principle here is here, what does the devil want to use? Well, he wants to use speaking. He wants to use an outward facade to get people to follow. And here these people, the Apostle Paul says, I am not rude, or I'm not common. I might be rude in speech, but I'm not in knowledge. You know, there may be a commonness, so to speak, to my speaking, but there is not a commonness to the knowledge that I have. But we have been thoroughly made manifest, very clear in how we have presented ourselves to you in all things. You know, the workers of Satan are not going to be clear. There's going to be a deception. There's going to be maybe a wondering, where are they going here? Verse number 7. He says, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Here in a sense, we find some backlash here. Paul had abased himself that they might be exalted. In a sense, now it's working against him. You know, sometimes in Christian ministry, you can give yourself. You can give of yourself, and yet it what? It comes back against you. And the very thing is that Paul had not come to them in the Corinthian church, had not required monetary finances. He had worked for himself. He had also received money from other churches, and yet he had not required it of the church of Corinth, but yet it seems that these people may have been trying to use it against the Apostle Paul. And sometimes, you know, in life, we find here there's the center of Christian ministry is giving. It's a humility. And here the Apostle Paul, it comes back to him. You know, sometimes in the ministry, you can't, yes, it requires giving. You know, that might come back and somebody might use it against you. But we have to remember what Christ said. I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to what? To give my life a ransom for many. Amen. And the center of ministry is what? Is giving. And the Apostle Paul did that with the Corinthian church. He did not require anything of them, but yet he gave. And you know, we can't be afraid of, oh boy, you know, what's going to happen? How are they going to use this against me? The Apostle Paul simply what? He gave. He says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Now, the idea here is not that he went and he, you know, was stealing, committing thievery here. But in a sense, he was not what? He was not giving anything, so to speak, in return for what these churches were giving to him so that he might invest it in that church. Now, obviously, they were going to get what? He talks about in Philippians how they're going to have rewards in heaven for what they were doing. You know, but your money that you're giving to missions, you know, are you getting necessarily anything from that dollar physically? Well, no. The only blessing is what? Well, it's a spiritual blessing, an eternal blessing that you might be giving. And so here, the Apostle Paul, he's receiving weight, he's taking from other churches to give to them. He says in verse 9, when I was present with you and wanted or lacked, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. And the Apostle Paul is going to continue on in these actions that he was performing. You know, but sometimes here again we see this, the craziness here. The Apostle Paul is giving and giving, and others are giving to the Corinthian church, and yet they what? And yet they're turning against him. You know, really, how sad it is many times is that the very people that give to us are the ones that we turn against. And we see it happening. You know, we see it happening with young people. You know, they turn. You know, Michaela mentioned tonight, 12 people, and now it's 3. People turn against those that have given, that have invested their lives in them. And this morning, or this evening, the Bible offers us a warning. We're going to get to it. That the devil is out there to deceive. And he is seeking to steal people's hearts from the ones that have given themselves, have given of themselves to allow them to go forward. You know, tonight, if you're waffling, wondering what direction am I going to go, is your direction going to make no sense? The very ones that have invested their lives in you, that have given to see you go on for God, you're going to turn to somebody who has really no investment, very little investment made in your life. What's the decision that you're going to make? But we find really the center of Christian ministry is what? It's giving. You're going to have people turn. You're going to have people many times go their own way. But you have to what? You have to continue to give, even as our Lord gave. Everyone turned against him as he was what? Making the greatest sacrifice. As he was giving the greatest gift, his own what? His own disciples. Yes, there were still thankfully some ladies at the cross. But his own what? His own disciples fled. You know, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And as he was at the center of the greatest gift to give, guess what I say? Which I should say is most people what? Forsook him. You know, are we going to follow his example and continue to give? But what do we see here? What's the continuity? What is that which holds ministry together, which keeps it to continue to go forward? Notice the attitude here of the Apostle Paul. Was he all of a sudden just going to change the way he was operating because some people may have been misunderstanding what he was doing in not requiring this money from them, in getting these things thrown at him from maybe these other workers that had come into the church? He says in the end of verse 9, "In all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and what? And so will I keep myself." So he was going to keep, he was going to continue on in the pathway that God had what? That God had led him in. He was not going to be burdensome to them. He was not going to, draw from them without giving them anything in return. Verse 10, "As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall what? No man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia." He was not going to just stop this pathway that God had chosen for him simply because other people were misunderstanding what he was doing. You know, many times that can be the temptation is, well, they're, you know, boy, these people are misunderstanding the pathway that God has chosen for me. And so we become shy and we back off in the direction that God has chosen for us. Well, if somebody misunderstands what we're doing, obviously we have to be careful in what we're doing. But we won't just back off and stop doing because somebody misunderstands, but God wants us to go forward and do what we're doing. And here we find the Apostle Paul is explaining some of these things. And sometimes we do need to explain, but we need to be what? We need to be faithful. We need to continue to go in the direction that God has chosen for us to go in. And that, and the Christian ministry is going to be, the continuity of it is going to be held together as what? People are faithful. As we continue on in the pathway that God has chosen, we don't just stop because somebody left. We don't just stop because somebody misunderstood something. We don't just stop because there's discouragement or something else that sets in. The Apostle Paul says, "I'm going to continue on. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to follow the pathway that God has chosen for me." Verse 11, "Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth." He understood what? that God was an omniscient God. God understood the pathway that he was on. Here, there was a sense that he was living in light of who God was. There may have been people that thought, yeah, the Apostle Paul really doesn't care much for us. But the Apostle Paul knew that God knew what? That he loved them. You know, tonight as a parent, you know, there may be times where your children question things about you. But guess what? God knows your heart. And God knows your commitment. And, you know, we need to not sit here and waffle wondering, well, you know, what is this person thinking about me? But we need to understand, what does God know about me? And God knew the love that the Apostle Paul had for the Corinthian believers. And really, probably down deep inside, you would think that these Corinthian believers probably understood the love the Apostle Paul had for them. All they had to do was look around at what the Apostle Paul was doing. But we know that the devil is what? He's deceitful. And he's going to get people to think, use whatever means he can to get them to think the wrong thing. Oh, they don't really love me. And the world's going to change the definition of what real love is to cast doubt as to those that really love, that they're actually loving. But the Apostle Paul was living in light of who God was, recognizing that God knew that he loved these people and that he was giving himself to them. And that's what matters. In verse 12, he says, "But what I do, that I will do." Notice the faithfulness. "That I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." And the Apostle Paul recognized that the way he was going was the right direction. And he was going to continue in that direction. And he was going to seek to cut off the occasion that they might have, that the desired occasion against him, to throw accusations at him. You know, I wonder tonight, can we, in our own lives, it's a challenge. Can we continue in the pathway that we're in, recognizing that, you know what, I'm doing what's right. I'm going in the direction God wants me to go. And eventually, what's going to happen? Well, those that desire occasion against me, it's going to be cut off. You know, and that was a great testimony that the Apostle Paul had. He could continue on in the pathway that he was on. Many of us, many times, we recognize, I'm on the wrong path. Well, I need to get on the right pathway. But the Apostle Paul could continue in the pathway that he was on. And in fact, he wanted those that were seeking occasion against him to be what? To be like he was. They may be found even as we. But then in verse number 13, here we find the conflict in Christian ministry. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So here we see how Satan works. Well, he is a deceiver. And what is he doing? He is seeking to make himself look like a what? An angel of light. All right, someone who is holy. You know, if somebody wants to do something that is wrong, if someone wants to leave a church, maybe let's say it's a good church. We're not saying somebody's leaving, you know, maybe a church that's going the wrong direction. All right, but somebody wants to leave a good church. What kind of a reason are they going to give for leaving that church? Are they going to come up to you and say, "Yeah, our family's compromising and we're going"? No! When somebody leaves a church, they're going to come up with some sort of a spiritual reason of why they're leaving. You know, if somebody wants to change direction, you know, if a Bible college or some kind of a institution is going to start going in the wrong direction, are they going to come out and say, we're compromising, that's why we're making this decision? No, they're going to come up with some sort of a spiritual reason of why they're going in the direction that they're going. And in your own life, if you're tempted to go in the wrong direction, guess what? The devil is going to give you some sort of spiritual reason of why you can go in the direction that you're going in. I mean, you look at the temptation of Christ, and what did he do? The devil even tried to offer the Bible up as a reason for Christ to make the wrong decision. And the devil will use whatever he can to get you to go in the wrong way. You know, what do you find sometimes? People come up with a Bible verse of why they should go in the wrong direction. Well, that's not anything new. The devil tried to use the Bible to what? To make Christ go in the wrong direction. And this evening, what is the devil doing? Well, he is transforming himself into an angel of light. And we need to be warned tonight that we're going to be tempted to make wrong decisions, and we're going to be tempted to use so-called good reasoning, which is actually bad reasoning, but come up with some kind of good reason, maybe we should say some sort of spiritual reason of why we should go in the direction that we're going. You know, maybe it's someone's offended you. And so now, oh, can't be around that person. I mean, that person is unloving. That person's unkind. You know, there's all different reasons that people come up with. Sometimes, you know, one time I heard of one time there was a young man, you know, and he was going to go to the public school. You know, one of his reasons, I think, was for going to the public school? He was going to be a what? A witness. You know, what happens? Their life goes down the tubes. And any opportunity for a witness is what? Is gone. Is pretty much lost. You know, the devil is going to come up with spiritual reasons for us of why we should go the wrong direction. And here in the Corinthian church, the false apostles were doing what? They were being deceitful workers. They were deceiving. And sometimes we just don't get that. You know, but the devil, what? He deceives us. Why are we deceived? Well, we don't know that we're being deceived. And that's why we need to what? Well, the Apostle Paul is giving them warning, and God gives us, you know, spiritual authorities in our lives. Young people, God gives you your parents, your pastor, to help direct you in the right direction, because there are deceitful workers out there. And they're going to deceive you to go the wrong direction. But guess what? You need to listen to the godly counsel in your life. Because there's going to be others out there that are going to offer you counsel that's going to manipulate you to get you to go in the wrong direction. And it's going to sound like you're doing something that's good. I mean, what do they transform themselves into? The apostles of Christ. They're not out there necessarily bashing the Lord Jesus Christ in an underhanded way, they are. But they're making themselves look like they are spiritual. They're making themselves look like they are righteous. Be transformed as what? Ministers of righteousness. Do we understand that this evening? We are facing a very deceptive enemy. And there are young people that are going in the wrong direction, that are falling for the tactics of Satan. And they're turning from the ones that have invested their lives into them because they are being deceived by Satan. You know, I wonder tonight, are you being deceived by Satan? Have you fallen for some spiritual reason of why you should go in a direction that you have chosen to go in? You know, who are you listening to tonight? Are you listening to the ones who have proven themselves to be the true ministers of God? Are you listening to the ones who have invested their lives for Christ? Or have you begun to open yourself up to the wrong people? And over in Numbers chapter 16, you have Dathan and Abiram and Korah. And you have these men leading a charge against Moses and Aaron. You know, in one way, it kind of sounds good, what they're saying. In one way, it almost sounds like something that people nowadays would say. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 3, it says, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses." So who was it? Well, in verse number 1, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and An, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes." I mean, they had a number of leaders, didn't they, on their side. It says, "They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." I mean, this sounds like a pretty good reason, doesn't it? I mean, you guys are kind of acting prideful. You know, you're lifting yourselves up above the rest of the people. Well, guess what? The rest of the people are holy. You know, you're taking too much upon you. Why can't others do what you're doing? Isn't the Lord among them? You know, doesn't, in a sense, they're making some what? Some spiritual reasoning in a sense. But it was wrong. Because God hadn't chosen the other people to be over them. God had chosen Moses. God had chosen Aaron to be the high priest. You know, tonight we need to follow God's choices rather than man's choices. And the devil can deceive us, and here he deceived these people, and it resulted in what? Well, it resulted in death. People died. And the devil can deceive us. And he's going to come up with some great reason. We're going to come up with some great reason why we can go in the direction that we want to go. And I wonder this evening, have you been deceived by Satan? Have you fallen for the deceptive tactics that he is seeking to employ to get you to go in his direction? We live in a wicked world. You know, it was pretty, Aaron was telling me some about his training that he received out in New York. Boy, it's eye-opening what's going on out there. And we have religions, you know, the Muslim religion in which people are giving themselves, dying, for what? Because they believe a certain way. And they're completely what? They're completely deceived. But it's amazing from the other aspect, it really is shameful to us of how much they're willing to give and what they're doing to seek to transform this country into an Islamic state, basically, and how little we as Christians are doing to seek to give out the gospel of Christ. You know, tonight Satan is in the business of deception. You know, what area of your life tonight have you been deceived in? You know, are you going to take the warning tonight to be sober, to be vigilant? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is out to destroy your soul tonight. And God has put protections in place to guard you from the attacks of Satan. And are you turning from those protections and opening yourself up to the attacks that Satan is going to use to try to destroy your life? Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to be warned tonight of the deceitfulness of the enemy that we are facing. And Lord, the devil is going to try to give us good reasons of why we should go in the wrong direction. And Lord, I pray tonight that if there are some here that have been deceived by Satan, Lord, that you would open up their hearts and their minds to the truth tonight. And Lord, that whatever voices that they have been listening to, Lord, that they would shut those voices out of their life. And they would open up their hearts to the ones who are following Christ. Lord, we live in a society in which there is so much being thrown at us. Lord, so many things being thrown at our young people today to steal away their hearts, to deceive them. And Lord, we need your truth to set us free from the deceptions that are all around us. I wonder tonight, with heads bowed and eyes closed, is God working in your life? First of all, the greatest deception that we can have is to not get saved. To spend an eternity, and really what a crazy decision that would be, to spend an eternity in hell when we had the opportunity to choose Christ. I wonder tonight, is the Lord working in your heart about your need of salvation? We can deceive ourselves. The devil will say, oh, you'll have another chance. You'll have another opportunity. But now is the accepted time. We don't know. And I wonder tonight, is maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart about your need of salvation. And you say, you know, Pastor John, tonight I realize really my great need. Is there anyone like that tonight that would raise their hand and say, would you pray for me? The Lord is working in my heart for my need of salvation. Wonder tonight, are there any believers here that, you know, you say, you know what, I've been deceived. You know, and I thought I had a good reason to do what I'm doing. But I realized tonight that was the devil. And you say, you know, the Lord has warned me tonight. And I want to heed the warning that he has given me. Is there anyone like that tonight? The Lord's worked in your heart in that area? All right, is there anyone else this evening, Lord's work in your heart? And tonight, even maybe there's not an area, but we need to be watchful. You know, why do we need to take unto us this spiritual armor? Why do we need to be in God's Word? Why do we need to be our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Because we're facing an enemy. You know, if we don't do something about it, we're going to be what? We're going to be defeated. We're going to begin to follow the wrong direction. And the problem is we're not even going to realize it because we've been deceived. And maybe tonight you just need to take more seriously the enemy that we are facing and the deception that we are facing with that enemy. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts. Lord, may it be instructive to us. May you use it in our hearts to guard us and to put us on guard from the attacks that we are facing. We pray in Christ's name.